News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. And Mobile Mornings, another gorgeous day. Not even as warm as yesterday. Closer to 72 for that high. So you heard what Dr. Bill had to say. All good heading into the Easter weekend and right through. We should be in great shape weather-wise, so enjoy.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better forecast from where we stand right now. 807 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and we've had a conversation with this man once before, and we love what he's doing over in Robertsdale, and heard him on with our resident Marine Tom Claxton a couple weeks ago on Scuttlebutt Network, spreading his message, and it's a pleasure to have him on again. Patrick Jump with Warrior Legacy Ranch joins us on Mobile Mornings. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us again.
Yeah, good morning, Dan. Good morning, Dalton.
We love what you're doing, man. We absolutely love what you're doing, and really enjoyed your visit last time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was great to be on. Got a lot of response from it.
Good.
I think this is a sign that our community here in the Mobile area really supports veterans and anything veteran-oriented. So
I agree.
And our audience in particular loves supporting veterans' causes as well, especially for local veterans. And for those who aren't aware of the Warrior Legacy Ranch, you got some acreage over there in Robertsdale. Explain the idea behind what you want Warrior Legacy Ranch to become and how you came up with that idea as you tried to some fellas that you went on deployment with, you tried to have a bit of a reunion with them, and that opened your eyes to how expensive that can get and how difficult it is to bring all these guys from all over the country together.
Yeah, so not only did we realize how expensive it was, but we realized, more importantly, how impactful it was, where it reignites that bond that we shared in the military, and provided a sense of closure to a lot of us, a sense of reconnection, and now that reconnection continues. And we thought, wouldn't that be great for every veteran to be able to experience without the high cost of renting an Airbnb or something like that to reconnect? So if we could eliminate that cost for them, it would be great. So we're building a 6,950 square foot facility, almost 7,000 square feet in Robertsdale on 20 acres, and all for the purpose of providing a place for veterans to reunite with people they served with, and all in the name of improving mental health and preventing veteran suicide, which is so important.
Spouses are invited too to these reunions, correct?
Yep, it's very important for us that spouses are involved, because spouses have to live with the veteran every day. Mm-hmm.
And to say that there's been some interest in this would be underselling it in a major way, because since you've brought this idea up, since you got this acreage, you've had a lot of people who said, hey, that's right down our alley. We would love to come out and do that.
Yeah, I think the last time I was on your show, we were up to 18 months of reservations, and now we're over 2 years.
Mm.
So veterans are signing up to be part of this, to be able to have their reunions at our facility. We just need to get it built. So we're still in the process of fundraising. We're doing a lot of events in order to make that happen. I think originally the plan was to talk about our dinner at the Hope Farm, but just the lack of interest, maybe the price, maybe it was on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. It didn't fit well with everyone's schedule. We did an event at the One Club in Gulf Shores, and they raised $420 for us. So that was a great thing that they were able to do. And now we're going to be at the Boat Show on the Bay, April 5th, 6th, and 7th, doing some giveaway items with donations. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to the future of this place. How active will it be, Patrick? It's going to be like on a, like renting a condo for the weekend at the beach? Like, it's going to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing? Is that what you're looking for in terms of how you're going to manage all this? And is that when you say that you're booked for nearly 2 years, does that have to do with the weekends, one weekend after the next?
Yeah, that's allowing all veterans that make a reservation to come and stay for a week.
Oh, wow.
The people they serve with. So they might just stay for a weekend, but we allow them up to 7 days. So, you know, they'll have the involvement in the community. You know, you bring 2,000 veterans a year somewhere, you know, they're going to look for fishing charters, time at the beach down at Orange Beach, down at restaurants. They will be providing money to this area. It's just we're trying to eliminate that cost for them of what it costs to stay somewhere.
And you talked about raising money here, and there's many ways that people can help, including by dropping by and seeing you when you go out to events, like you said, Boat Show on the Bay next weekend. But I also know on your website, which, by the way, sharp-looking website, warriorlegacyranch.org. Very descriptive, very easy to navigate, but right there on the site, warriorlegacyranch.org, you can purchase a memorial brick in order to honor someone in your life, but also a spot there on the site for those who are interested in hosting a reunion out there to at least inquire about doing so.
Yeah, absolutely. You can sign up to inquire on the website. You can purchase the brick, like you mentioned, and that brick is going to go on the front porch of the communal building. And then for there's a donate link where you can donate different items of money. But one of the things that we researched doing was actually allowing companies to come in and sponsor an entire room.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like a one-time fee that they could pay, and then they're going to have full sponsorship of that room for as long as that room is standing.
Wow, I love it. Patrick, can you describe the campus to us, what it exactly is going to look like? Is it going to be built out in phases, or are you going to try to complete it all in phase one? And what will be there?
So we're actually building as donations come in. So right now we have enough funds to kind of prep the site and get the land ready. And then the next step then will be to purchase the architectural and engineered drawings, compliant with all the federal regulations, state regulations, and county regulations. And then we'll start construction. So as the money comes in, we get the money to pour the slab, we'll pour the slab. I did the calculations last night. It's 13,500 square feet of concrete. Between the pool deck, the patios, and the building.
Well, that's more than my driveway, so that's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah, it's going to be impressive, and, man, we can't wait. We are along for the ride and really interested in helping you out, and know a lot of folks in our audience are as well.
Yes.
So the things you need to do if you're interested here, you said you guys will be out at the boat show by the bay next weekend, so come out and see Patrick and learn about the Warrior Legacy Ranch there. But also, let me point you again to the website, warriorlegacyranch.org, and they're also on Facebook at facebook.com/warriorlegacyranch. Patrick, we appreciate your time this morning, and really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Don.
Yes, sir. Come see us anytime, Patrick.
All right.
Bye. All right, you go. Patrick Jump, Warrior Legacy Ranch, and I mean, it's not hard to see where he gets the motivation.
Yeah.
He's clearly motivated and passionate about this, but I love someone who's just trying to get something done.
And he's getting things done.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the land, and now he's got donations coming in, so he's doing it in a fiscally responsible way, and he's doing it little by little. I just think they just need a greater introduction to our community and make sure people are really understanding what it is and why it's so vital. It's really interesting, his story, how they came across it almost, I think it was up in Virginia where they met, and a number of them met and saw what an impact it had on them personally, emotionally, to reunite like that. It really didn't have any idea it was going to go down like that. And then he was like, all of a sudden, wow. We need this. We need this. This is exactly what we need. So he kind of built the template in a way by accident. And then he was like, gee whiz, this really does benefit guys who have come back and ladies and the spouses as well. Like he said, the spouses have got to live with them the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So they're more than welcome. It's a very thoughtful project.
And, you know, it's one thing to get one hotel room or an Airbnb for a small family. But when you're trying to get a a rented house for something that can hold 20, 30, 40 people, that price gets exorbitant.
Way up there. Yep.
Yeah, it gets way up there. So a great idea from Patrick and warriorlegacyranch.org. We'll keep you updated on their journey all the way through. And, you know, the area does turn out, especially for our veterans. We were talking about this week in Spanish Fort. They unveiled phase two of the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery, and it looks beautiful, but adding another almost 3,000 in-ground burial sites and 1,000 more spaces for urns, a $5 million grant that they were that they used to build this phase two, and they said 8 more future expansions planned at the cemetery. That's mm-hmm. something else, and a lot of people showed up this week for that dedication.
And we are closing in our next. You have Easter, of course, and then our next major holiday of the year, government holiday, is Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a day that we can look forward to and look forward to honoring those who gave it all. I generally go to the Virginia Street, if I'm not here, mm-hmm. to the Virginia Street Cemetery down there for the ceremony that they have there. But when that time comes around, and it's not too far away, couple of months, I guess, but just make plans to be somewhere to go ahead and understand what that day is all about. If you're going down to the beach, I get it. But if you're in town or around town, there's a lot of different places you can go to show respect for the people that gave everything they had.
I need to do that this year. Well said. That's something I need to plan on doing. When I saw this headline, it was a little disconcerting. You read into it, and it's maybe less so, but AI, law enforcement departments using AI for 911 calls. Have you heard about this?
Whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky out a little bit thinking about, you know, AI answering a call when you're in distress. But it looks like right now, at least Austin and Denver, they're using AI for when something happens in a particular area and people call. They've got an automated AI message that says, "We are aware that this is happening in your area." I'll go into this by a little more detail when we get back.
Yeah, let's.
I think we got to be careful introducing some of these machines to something as crucial as a 911 call.
Yeah, you got to wait on the results, but the results could change your end of life mm-hmm. if they don't come out right. So we'll talk about that on the way.
8:22 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And coming up next Saturday, April 6th, come on out. The second annual Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. That's where I'll be all day, Bicentennial Park in Stockton. And it is beautiful out there. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo on April 6th. And we have a good time. First off, you meet a bunch of different companies, a lot of folks affiliated with the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce, but they also have some great food trucks out there. Last year, I think I just ate crawfish all day, pretty much. That was my day. When I wasn't on the mic, I was eating crawfish and watching some great music that they had.
I got there at 11 a.m., and by 3 p.m., you were noticeably bigger.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you eat 15 pounds of crawfish. So music all day, but also some really great demos from some expert outdoorsmen. You've got world champ turkey callers Kenny Weiss Sr. and KJ, his son, Kenny Jr., but also Captain Bobby Abruscato. And if you like the fishing report every week, imagine that, but you meet Captain Bobby in person and you get to ask him the questions that you want answered. He is fantastic out there, and he'll be there again this year. So come on out next Saturday, April 6th, the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. I'll also have along with me a bunch of these brand new FM Talk 106.5 buckets with the amazing handle at the bottom.
They are popular.
A bucket unlike any other.
Yes.
And I'll have plenty of them out there at the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. You can find out more online, northbaldwinchamber.com, or go to Facebook and search Discover North Baldwin. You'll find them there as well.
You know, if you ever thought about somebody, something, some job where you've got to have a real efficient personal touch, it would be if you're a 911 dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen closely. You've got to assess the situation. You've got to get people out to the right address and all that. And so this does sound a little weird, what's going on in Austin.
Yeah, Austin and I think Denver as well. So this story out of Austin, and they're looking at Denver's 911 operations to see what they're getting into. But Austin is in the early stages of considering using an AI component This report they have here noted that Denver 911 is looking at using AI to geotag an area with a known incident and create a voice message for any 911 callers within the vicinity to let them know that police are aware of the issue. This is run by a company. You know how we talked about the cameras and gunshot technology from ShotSpotter as it came into Mobile?
Yes.
And they've kind of got the corner on that market, ShotSpotter does. Well, it looks like this company, Carbyne, does the same for AI on 911 response calls. And Carbyne's co-founder said the goal is to basically cut down response and dispatch time. The breakdown of how this works: if a house on your street is on fire and you call 911, several of your neighbors are also likely calling 911, and that can jam up the system. So Carbyne uses geofencing technology to let callers in a certain vicinity of an incident know if first responders are already on the way. That way the caller can hang up. You've got AI telling you what's going on, and that apparently would free up the line for an emergency that hasn't been addressed yet.
That makes sense.
The Carbyne founder said, we're basically looking at the queue, and only for the calls not being answered by the call takers, we answer those using AI bots. We identify the situation by the location of your call. We're not simply answering everybody with AI, only if you're calling from the location of the incident.
So they are presuming, looking at the from where you're calling from, that you are doubling down on the call about the house next door.
Right. So it's geofencing, which if you've been on your phone and traveling around, that's often what they use in advertising, is mm-hmm. geofencing. Like mm-hmm. if you're, say, I don't know if they do this, but the Mobile Civic Center, if you're in town, right, you're not from here, you just happen to be downtown for some kind of expo or meeting.
You knew the FM Talk 106.5 Civic Center.
Yeah, when you're right next to the FM Talk Civic Center. And the geofencing technology says, hey, this person from Tennessee or Washington is in Mobile. I'm going to push this comedy show to them that's coming tomorrow night. Maybe they'll go check it out. That's how geofencing works. So that's how they're saying it would work with these AI calls. But, you know, what if you're on the street where there's a fire, but something else is happening to you?
Yeah.
Like you're getting robbed.
Yeah.
And you call 911 and you get the AI. We realize there's a fire. Somebody's got a gun in my face
they
right now.
They passed you along through the AI, assuming... And that isn't there a saying about assuming that we've talked about forever?
Yeah.
So they're assuming at 911. So, there I see the problem.
Mm-hmm. How if something else is happening
and
that same. So I don't know how foolproof this is. And, you know, Austin.
Well, you gave an example where it's not.
Yeah.
If you get mugged near where there's a fire, you're out of luck.
You are out of luck if you're in Austin. Now, remember, Austin's one of these cities that's had major, and I think Denver too, major issues with keeping enough police on the force to be effective in any manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and we could kind of tie that into your big story this morning in Three Big Things. What are they doing in Austin? The inability to hire enough police to fill the force out. Well, they're now using AI in order to keep it clear so that more people can, you know, get to more calls.
Mm.
You look at the reasoning behind why they're potentially decriminalizing marijuana in Mobile, and that was to keep cops on the streets, right? They said it takes too much time and
take them to process the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
process the case.
You arrest somebody with marijuana, and it ends up taking up, you know, how many hours of your night as a law enforcement officer. So
yeah, you write a ticket like he's got a headlight out. And it mentally, he does have a headlight out because he's high.
He's high, yeah. So you can see how in real time, you know, different police departments and cities are figuring out ways to get around the problem with not having a full police force.
Yeah, prioritizing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're saying that we are not a full force, and Mobile is still short, 30, I believe.
Yeah, not as much as they were.
No, but so they're short, and so what's the best use of their time in a city like Mobile where you've got to make this decision? Are more serious things going on than a guy smoking a joint? Now, a guy smoking a joint, I mean, Paul Birch looks at it one way
mm-hmm.
as the sheriff, but the city as a whole looks like MPD is taking a different view of it.
Yeah, well, and I imagine Birch for at least a couple of years is just getting complaints, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, why does it smell like weed everywhere I go? Isn't this still illegal? Now he's got the city kind of pushing back against his plans.
That's something. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Rob Holberg with Land Yap is on the way. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Nice morning, man. Maybe a little cooler than you expected. We're at 54 degrees. It's a little breezy, too, so you might want to just grab a light jacket before you head out this morning. We got a lot to get into with Rob Hobart from Lagniappe Mobile, because this latest edition is chock full of all kinds of interesting stuff, including Matrix, that organization, and Auburn University, and the descriptions of some of those meetings where they were talking about this firm and what their role is at Auburn and why so much money is being spent. We'll just start with this. We can get back to it. But I read that article, and then I was like getting more and more frightened with each page I turned.
Were you flummoxed?
I was flummoxed. It just seemed you're watching a movie and you're saying, wow, what's the reveal?
Mm-hmm.
When they do reveal, what's the end? What's going to? And of course, there's no reveal yet, but man, oh man, if you read that article and try and, you know, maybe connect the dots yourself, it's a really weird story.
Yeah, so for those who don't remember Matrix being in the news, Rob, maybe a bit of a description. The way I kind of see Matrix, and they're in the news a lot for representing Southern Company, and
they're only in the news. They don't want to be in the news,
right? They're like a PR company,
yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know if you've seen that show Ray Donovan, where it's like his job to protect big name celebrities.
Yeah,
it's kind of the way I see this Matrix LLC is kind of a PR company. Am I seeing that correctly, Rob?
Well, they're something. I don't know if PR is the right thing. They claim to be a media company of some sort. I don't know. But the way they were in the news was back in 2022. It came out pretty heavily. They had a nasty breakup between the CEO and the owner, Joe Perkins, and a guy named Jeff Pitts, and that turned into a lawsuit, and what that ended up being is a lot of documents that ended up in the public domain and ended up getting sent to media outlets, and mm-hmm. there were stories all over Florida and Alabama about basically this company has done a lot of work for Alabama Power and Florida Power and Light, and there's all this stuff about, you know, how they were manipulating media outlets, paying certain media outlets, some of these online media outlets to run articles that were favorable toward Alabama Power, mm-hmm. Florida Power and Light. You know, there was a situation where they followed a report, had a private investigator follow a reporter that had apparently paid a private investigator to follow the head of the Southern Company of Alabama Power. So there was a lot of that stuff that went on, and the story this week that I just wrote is about how Auburn is now paying Matrix $1 million a year to do something for them, but they won't really say what they're doing. And so it's kind of a strange program that they have. They're paying them a lot of money. It's all very it's strategic planning, and it's, they're helping us come up with a communication plan, et cetera, et cetera. I tried to get them to say, hey, you know, just tell me what they do. Give me an example of what one thing they've done for you, and they won't do that. They won't tell me who hired them. When I emailed Joe Perkins, the head of Matrix, to find out, you know, to kind of ask him those questions, you know, who hired you, et cetera, he wrote me back this bizarre statement that I was a ghostwriter had heard a message from someone before that I was paid off to end a story somewhere, and he has evidence of this. So it's kind of this weird quasi, seems threatening to me. But,
yes,
I'd love to see the information you have. Send it to me, but he didn't do that, so I don't know.
Hey, Rob, so when I'm reading this, and that might have been the part that spooked me the most. You were talking about a lot of power here, obviously. We're talking about leveraging that power with information, it would seem. Am I close?
I think that's what... You know, this company's kind of, the reputation of the company is, you know, I don't know that all these things are true, but people say a lot of things about them that, you know, I guess are dirty tricks, dirty political tricks that, that sort of have this reputation of doing things that, you know, really are kind of crossed the line in a lot of ways.
Yeah, people, but you know, so there's one thing about being confidential, but yeah, it just feels darker than that.
I mean, I would say that given the information I've seen, I would say that there's a lot of stuff out there that is really questionable. And, you know, if they've done even a quarter of the stuff that they're alleged to have done, it's not a good thing. I don't really know why Auburn would pay them $1 million a year. The weird part, you know, it's kind of this strange conduit that is going from Alabama Power, from the Alabama Power Foundation to the Auburn University Foundation and into this thing called the McCrary Institute, which is ostensibly a some kind of a group that Auburn put together about, you know, grid protection and cybersecurity, which I don't know where Matrix has any expertise in that to be paid close to $1 million a year to do that. That's one of the things I asked them, like, when have you done this for other people? Where's your cybersecurity background? But somehow, the people that are on this McCrary Institute board, there's a lot of people from Alabama Power and there's a lot of people from Matrix.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really strange. And, you know, some people look at that and think, hey, why is this a way that Alabama Power is getting money to Matrix? I don't know. You know, I mean, I've asked Alabama Power and Southern Company if they're still employing Matrix, especially after they hired a private investigator to follow the CEO of Southern Company around, which they, Joe Perkins claims was done by some rogue employees that he didn't know it was done. But, you know, all these things are very strange. And, you know, there's it's a very interesting story. And it's
yeah,
things that, well, you know, I think it's going to unfold over the course of several months here.
Well, yeah, like so many other threads that Lanyap unravels, it sounds like it could make a good movie eventually one day. But until then, we have you guys keeping up with stuff like that week in and week out. Let's talk about the cover story this week and a new era we live in celebrity. As you guys writing about the some of the more famous social media influencers from our area, and it surprises me. Like even this article, I didn't realize that comedian who does the grandpa stuff, Justin Stagner.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he's just from right up the road in Criolla. You've got another social media influencer who went viral these last couple weeks for her catfish noodling. She's from nearby as well. But you wrote about several of these social media influencers and with TikTok being in the news here this last couple weeks.
Yeah, we wanted to look at the TikTok economy locally. You know, the people who are making money off of this being influencers or creators. From what I gather, they're not fond of the term influencer. Mm. They prefer your content creators and that they are out there making these videos and people are watching them and becoming, you know, some of them are making pretty good money doing it. Some of them have quit jobs and they do this full time. Others are, you know, it's a side hustle, but it's a really fascinating subculture of the people and an economy that a lot of us probably aren't aware of. And they're out there, you know, people are out there doing this. And the question of whether Congress bans TikTok or not is something that's of importance to them. You know, it's one of those things that it shuts them down, you know, for a lot of folks, or they've got to find other ways to reach their audience.
I'm one of the few Americans not on TikTok, I guess. So how do they deliver their content?
Neither. You know, I'm not either.
How are they delivering the content? I listen to a million podcasts, but what exactly are they doing?
Well, Dan, from what I can gather, you know, I think it has a lot more to do. It's not that they're doing anything special in terms of delivering the content. They're videotaping themselves and you know, I use the term videotape. There's no tape involved. They're videoing themselves. you know, and they're editing it and they're making something that you can watch, which mm-hmm. is something you can put on YouTube or something you can put on any number of different platforms. But I think the reach is the issue, and the way the algorithms work on TikTok, and it attracts the audience that they want. And so I think it's really more about that than it is per se that they're doing anything special for TikTok in terms of the actual production of the videos.
Yeah, and it's so crazy that you could be right down the street from someone with, like in Stagner's case, 2.5 million followers. basketball coach at Spring Hill, Casey Ferguson, 2.7 million followers on TikTok alone. So these people are like around us with millions of followers.
I walk by the Spring Hill gym every day. So I've got like a celebrities inside those walls, I guess.
So,
I mean, she is, you know, and there's, you know, of course we have Mama Tot locally. She's big time. I mean, she went to DC a couple of weeks ago to talk about TikTok. And I mean, she has millions and millions of followers. It's a fascinating story, and it's amazing how many people are attempting to do this and to, you know, make something. It's an entrepreneurial venture for a lot of these people.
Who on the Lanyap staff do you think could grow the biggest TikTok audience? Do you think Dale Leash? I think Dale.
I feel like Kyle could. He's got that sort of, you know, country. He's like this genius country bumpkin. You know, kind of country accent, but he's extremely bright. So you know, there's that. I think there's some. That's what one of the things they talked about is there's sort of this Alabama fascination that they have that I guess the world at large has with people here. I liken it to sort of a juggling bear that the rest of the world thinks we're complete idiots, and they're like, wow, look at these people can talk. I mean, it's amazing.
In 1960,
shocking thing that we actually can do anything.
In the early 60s, it would be the New York producers coming up with the Beverly Hillbillies, and suddenly, there was your picture of the South right there.
I think that's for a lot of these people. That's what Alabama is. There's sort of this amazement that, well, look at this, it's coming out of Alabama.
no doubt. Well, I know the best.
Look at that; they've got their teeth and everything.
The best journalism coming out of Alabama is from the Lanyap office, and you got a new edition on stands now. Like, we just got to two of the stories. You've got probably 10, 12, 15 big hitters in there this week. How can people get that on stands, and how can they sign up online?
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. We have a lot of big stories hitting. And so you can go to lanyapmobile.com and get signed up. It's $1 for the first month. It's $1.50 a week after that. So it's $6.50 a month. And it supports great journalism around here. I mean, keeps us going. And I think I'm going to be on a midday later today.
Ooh.
I'm going to help Cam Marston host, so I'll be there for a little while today.
That'd be a good show.
Tell your folks to tune in here.
We will. Any comment on the passing of Flacco the Owl?
Yeah, have you heard?
I'm not familiar with the Owl.
Boy.
Just the mention of it makes me sad. I don't know.
Well, I know.
I wouldn't be sad.
I know the stories that are right down Rob Holbert's alley, and you're going to want to look up Flacco the Owl when you get off the air.
I guess. Is it named after Joe Flacco?
We're not sure.
What's the deal?
Even if Flacco did some time with the Jets, and this was a New York City Owl who became kind of a folk hero.
Yeah, he was broken out of the Central Park Zoo. And then over the next year of his life, really lived it up in New York. And it's his autopsy that has people talking this week.
Well, I'll have to check this out. I'll have to look into it. I feel woefully inadequate here. I'm sorry.
When Dalton told me the end of his life, he flew into a building on the Upper West Side. I was like, well, that's not a death, because I thought he flew into the building, like attended a cocktail party.
Yeah.
And then Dalton was like saying, no, the window was closed. I said, okay, now I get it.
It happens. You know, my son had a foul fly into his car a couple of years ago.
Ooh, yep.
they do that once in a while.
big critters. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate
not as wise
it.
As we might assume. I don't know.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and appreciate him being on with us this morning. Coming up, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.
morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. You often run down where the Jags are going to be baseball-wise for the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy at Georgia right now. You know, Georgia's okay, I guess, in baseball. But not, this guy is hitting in 25 games. He's hitting .517
cool.
with 17 home runs. Is that like the best player in the country? I think the stats are. That's insane.
Yeah, Condon, or what's his name?
You mentioned it to me earlier. It's like a guy from the 50s.
Yeah.
Here comes Charlie Condon up to the plate. Yeah. And let's see if he gives it a whack.
Yeah. The SEC, man, they're, I mean, even if the teams aren't dominant every year, the players are. You saw LSU last year, Tennessee, Vanderbilt over the years, Ole Miss. And we've seen with Alabama and Auburn. They've got some great players that come through.
I've seen great players. I haven't seen stats like this after 25 games. 517, y'all, and 17 home runs in 25 games.
And 517, if you're unaware, that means he's hitting once every two times he's up at the plate.
He's getting a base hit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
CB Carl, in our discussion with about Flacco the Owl, you're right. I keep messing this up. He says on animals, it's a necropsy, not an autopsy. But, you know, Flacco was so famous in New York.
It felt like an autopsy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Billy Joel died. But it was an owl.
It was Flacco. Oh, man. What a loss. This story.
What a story.
What a story. How about this one? So we've had the stories over the years, last several years in particular, where you've got, you know, government offices sending down dictates to their staff and other bureaucrats, telling them how they must present themselves. You got to put your gender in the email so that everyone knows who or what they're talking to. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it time and time again. Now you've got the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So anything that has to do with spying, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the top agency wants to ban its spies from using biased language. What do they include as biased language here? Radical Islamists, jihadists, words like that they say are hurtful to Muslim Americans and detrimentally impact our efforts as they bolster extremist rhetoric. But it's not just radical Islamists and jihadists that they're asking our spies to quit using those terms. Also, ODNI instructs employees to avoid phrases such as blacklisted, cakewalk, brown bag, grandfathered, and sanity check.
Why are they, what's wrong with any of those terms?
Well, they described, they said blacklisted, for instance, implies that black is bad and white is good.
Oh, it means you've been blacklisted.
You've been blacklisted. They said cakewalk, and I've never heard this in my life.
Cakewalk is when something is a very easy task.
That's what you would think. They said it was a dance performed by slaves for slave owners on plantation grounds. I've never heard that in my life.
I thought this was an anti-pastry movement, but no.
This was first reported by the Daily Wire. They say it's latest example of how diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives are reshaping how employees speak to one another and perform their national security jobs. Yeah, I'm more concerned about how they're performing their national security jobs.
What were the other ones that they they blacklisted these, or whatever they did.
Yeah, they did blacklist.
They
blacklisted grandfathered. I'm guessing that's because it's a nod to the patriarchy, right? If you say something was grandfathered in, why don't you say grandmothered in?
Wow.
Sanity check. I'm guessing because that would imply that there's a chance that the person you're talking to
is crazy as hell.
So that would obviously be a no-go when you're talking to someone in the CIA. It's just crazy. Representative Jim Banks is on the House Armed Services Committee, and he said woke initiatives like that one, like this one, are a gift to our adversaries. U.S. officials are being trained to use terms that don't disparage China or Islamic terrorists. Wokeness is a gift to our adversaries.
Okay, so note to y'all, don't use the term he was born on third base unless you potentially want to face a firing squad. Because they're not going to put up with that.
No.
All right, man. Good week. Oh, yeah. We got one more day.
We do. Right. Yeah, that'd be Friday.
There you go. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.